meeting to session at 6:02 p.m. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the board regarding any closed session items? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and adjourn to closed session. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order at 7:04 p.m. We will begin with the invocation. I have a poem in honor of Veterans Day. Yesterday was Veterans Day, so we're celebrating all the veterans who have served our country valiantly. This poem is by Cheryl Dyson. On Veterans Day, we honor all who answered to a service call. Soldiers young and soldiers old fought for freedom, brave and bold. Some have lived while others died. All of them deserve our pride. We're proud of all the soldiers who kept thinking of red, white, and blue. They fought for us and all our rights. They fought through many days and nights, and though we may not know each name, we thank all veterans just the same. We are honored to have the West Covina High School Air Force Junior ROTC lead us in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and a special thank you to the West Covina High School Junior ROTC Air Force. We thank you in honor of Veterans Day for supporting us and providing the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you.
Can I just make a little comment?
Sure.
That Lieutenant Colonel Wood is here tonight, and since he has joined the West Covina High School, we have increased the number of students participating to, is it almost 100 now?
Yes, ma'am. For a brief period, we were over 100. We're right around 90 right now.
And they've changed now? We're no longer provisional?
That's correct. They're all
congratulations.
So we just really want to thank you for your hard work.
Congratulations. Okay. The roll call, please.
Mrs. Jimenez?
Here.
Mrs. Polis?
Here.
Mrs. Spence?
Here.
Mrs. Fox?
Here.
Ms. Schumacher?
Here.
Ms. Cristobal?
Here.
Mrs. Campbell?
Here. Okay, we have no action to report out of closed session at this time. I do not have a board president's report. Any of my colleagues? Ms. Poulos.
I just want to thank the Coronado students for supporting the transition conference that happened at Coronado. Once again, they were shining stars in every aspect of making that a success. And without them, I don't know how we could get all the little things done, because you see students all over doing whatever needed with a smile on their face. They represent us very well. So a big thank you to them.
Thank you so much. Any of my other colleagues? No. Okay. Ms. Cristobal, your turn.
Coronado High School. 60 Coronado High School students visited Joshua Tree National Park to study biology and photography. It was the start of a project-based assignment. Our campus just hosted the annual Parents Place School to Work conference this past Saturday. All students went through their monthly credit check with all their teachers. This helps to keep students focused on their progress towards graduation. Students will visit ITT Tech and Everest College next week. ASVAB results are back and will be shared with the students that took the exam. Our football team continues to win games, and basketball will be starting soon. West Covina High School. West Covina High School is proud to congratulate our College and Career Day Committee, who put on a great event two Fridays ago. We had many local and national universities, colleges, vocational and trade schools, as well as our armed services, peace officers, agencies, and local community partners attend. They presented valuable career information to our students. The day was a great success. The second grading period ended last Friday, and students' parents will receive an update on their academic progress. We are excited that West Covina High School was invited to participate in a solar boat competition sponsored by the Metropolitan Water District. This past Saturday, students built the boat at the sponsoring agency's facility and will now bring it back on campus for the final and most important build part of the project, making it solar powered. This week is Spirit Week on campus, and we are preparing for our Renaissance College Rally this Friday. This is a week-long push to raise awareness on campus of the importance of being prepared for and attending college. We would also like to thank and congratulate our very own Air Force Junior ROTC program for officially being taken off as of probation. Under the leadership of Lieutenant Colonel Guy Wood and Major Sergeant Linda Larson, our numbers continue to grow. We are very proud of the program they have begun to build. This past Thursday, our AFJ ROTC presented their annual Veterans Day Assembly to the largest audience in recent memory. The ceremony and tribute to our servicemen was amazing. Great job, AFJ ROTC. Finally, congratulations to our football and volleyball programs for making it to CIF playoffs. Football plays this Friday against Norwalk High School, and volleyball plays tonight against Rancho Cucamonga. Good luck, Bulldogs. And Edgewood High School. Announcement. For personal reasons, ASB Vice President Lauren Ramirez resigned from her position. The position has been filled by Caitlin Megan Rivera. Caitlin was ASB President her freshman year at Edgewood High School and has served in various leadership positions every year. And this is Caitlin. So she's here today. Yes. As we enter our third and last grading period of the semester, ASB Renaissance recognized academic achievement by presenting EHS wristbands to students with GPAs of 3.0 or higher. We would like to present the board with honorary wristbands as well. Cheer and Swim co-hosted a dodgeball tournament and raised about $1,500 for their sports teams. Winter teams are practicing in anticipation of their up and coming tournaments and games. Travel Club will have a potluck celebration on December 4th with the families of the students who will be traveling to China in April. At this time, visa applications will be prepared and travel plans will begin to take form. Drama Club is selling tickets for Godspell, which will be held.
That's for 4.0 and above.
Drama Club is selling tickets for Godspell, which will be held November 22nd through 25th. 36 talented students will take the stage in this Broadway musical. Most of the kids are doing a play for the first time and are doing an amazing job. We hope you will all join us for what promises to be a fantastic production. Tickets are selling well, with 2 out of 6 shows already sold out. Although invitations have been sent, the cast sent me with duplicates for you tonight. Our mock trial team is competing tonight at the LA Superior Courthouse. There are 100-plus teams in their bracket from high schools throughout Los Angeles County. Interact Club raised $463 for UNICEF during lunchtime on Halloween. They also raised $450 for Not On Our Watch by hosting a viewing of Hotel Rwanda last week. Currently, the club is holding a food drive for local food banks. On December 6th, Interact will host an open mic night. All proceeds from this annual event will go to Hafer International to help fight world hunger. Poetry Club is working on their production of Much Ado 2, which will be held in late February. The Inner Club Council is planning Edgewood's first food fair to be held the evening of December 16th in conjunction with Edgewood's cram session. Also, Decathlon held a 24-hour study-a-thon in the Media Center last Saturday. That's it.
Thank you so much, Ms. Cristobal.
And welcome aboard. Okay, I have no blue cards in front of me. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the board? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to our business session. I would like to table item 6. Is there anyone else who would like to add or subtract items from consent? I guess we would have to remove it from consent in order to do that.
I just amended.
It means they paid the fee, though.
Okay, we can. All right, we will amend it.
I would like to take off 5 and 8.
Remove 5 and remove 8.
I would like to take off 10.
10. Mr. Cox, any for you? Okay. Okay, so what I have is item number 4 amended to reflect that Ms. Shoemaker is not attending the CSBA conference.
I'll move that we approve the agenda as amended.
Okay, as amended.
With the deletion of 5, 8, and 10, the amendment to item number, that is 3, right? No, 4.
4.
And then with number 6 being tabled, since it's been withdrawn.
Okay, thank you. Who will second that? Okay, it has been moved by Mr. Mike Spence and seconded by Ms. Shoemaker for item number 4. Ms. Shoemaker's not attending. We're amending that. Item 5 is off consent. Item 6 is tabled. Item 8 is off consent. Item 10 is off consent.
Well, and to make clear on number 4, it's not because I all of a sudden can't attend. I never signed up for it.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Hope we get a refund.
Aye.
Aye. All those voting no? Okay. It's carrying 5-0. Okay. Item number 5. Mr. Spence.
Do you really want to go through all of it again, or just go ahead and have somebody go ahead and move it?
I will go ahead and move this. Does anybody else have any other comments to it? Only Mr. Spence?
I concurred with many of Mr. Spence's concerns.
Okay. Okay. Okay, then I'll move it. Since no one wants to discuss it, then I'll move it. Anybody would like to? Who will second it? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against?
No.
Okay, it is carried 3-2 with Mr. Spence and Ms. Poulos voting no. Okay. Item number 8, Mr. Spence.
Yeah, I pulled this off in specific for the magic shows.
Item number 7? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I apologize that. Item number 7. Okay, AR6146.1, Mr. Cox. Mrs. Poulos.
I don't have any concerns with the language. It doesn't talk about the special ed component, and I know we've just recently had an issue with what it looks like for a special education student to graduate from high school. Is there a way to, and I know we have another policy that deals with that, that we can refer individuals with to that policy, and then we might need to relook at that policy or at least have individuals look at it to make sure that they understand that they the rigor of the courses that the students need to in the special day class, well, not special day class, but the special education students need to have to receive the waiver for the high school exit exam. Because it doesn't say it here, but this probably isn't the place to say it, but I do want that addressed since we've had a recent issue.
And we've actually been working with Mrs. Alexander and are preparing an update for the board on that, but I don't have a problem with us
referring people to it if they're. And is there a place we can do that?
Seven 7B?
7B or page B of the AR.
If you look at page B of the AR, Mrs. Polis, it talks about the KC. I think it's the second paragraph after the credit. Beginning in 2000, class of 2006, talks about the KC and passing the KC. We could add it somewhere in there.
Okay.
You're talking about some sort of reference there or even language, but we can look at it.
Right. I just think it would be good if a parent is looking to see what's required, and if they do have a child with in special education, then they can go there. But then we need to make sure that that new policy is very clear.
We'll pull that as well.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and pull 6146.1.
No, this
no.
is first
oh, I'm
reading.
Sorry.
We're just going to add
no,
it.
I apologize.
I just want to add that reference to the,
okay.
I'm
sorry.
The AR that actually deals with individuals in special education.
We're going to add language.
Okay. I heard pull on this end, so I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay, Mr. Spence?
I didn't say pool.
Okay, I'm thinking about swimming. Do you have any comments?
No.
Okay, Ms. Shoemaker? None. Okay. All right. Item 6164.6. Mr. Cox? Ms. Poulos? I apologize. Mr. Spence? Ms. Shoemaker? Okay. And item BP6177, summer learning programs. Mr. Cox? Ms. Poulos? Mr. Spence? And Ms. Shoemaker? Okay. Then who will move this?
I will, as amended.
And who will second it?
I will.
Okay, it has been moved by Mr. Mike Spence and seconded by Ms. Cami Poulos to accept for first reading with amendments to 6146.1 for the following board policies and administrative regulations as presented. Again, 6146.1 has some amendments, AR 6164.6, and BP6177. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? It is carried 5-0. Okay, Mr. Spence, on to item 8.
Yeah, I pulled number 8 because of the magic of AHA illusions item, the 45-minute magic shows. I guess I want to make it clear I believe in magic, but I'm not sure about the efficacy of magic shows as far as anti-bullying or self-esteem. Instruction, and that is what these magic shows were supposed to do. And I guess I've never seen any research that showed that magic shows reduce bullying or anything in campus. And it just seemed like a way to pay someone to do magic. So I guess how would a magic show reduce bullying and raise self-esteem? Just going to make bullying disappear.
That probably
how does that
going to
work? I just struggle with spending money on magic shows as part of our instructional program. It just seems odd to me. So I'd like to pull that one from there. I'll move the other three.
You want to vote on that separate?
Yeah.
I'll second that.
So I'll move from 2 approve and separate that one out.
Okay, it has been moved by Mike Spence and seconded by Jessica Shoemaker to approve item A, B, and C. Item D has been pulled. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, the first one is carried 5-0. Okay, I'll go ahead and move item D, Anthony, the magic of AH illusions. Who will second that?
I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
Okay, it is carried 4-1. Okay. We have, I believe, item 10. Ms. Poulos?
I believe I'm the only one with the self-help plan in front of me. It says it was adopted May 2013, and
the board.
been, and what are we doing now?
This is just for, this year we still are getting services from LACO. Next year we'll be doing all the services within. These are still the services that we are using with LACO, and this is a contract with LACO for these services for our district.
When I'm looking at it, I don't see any services. Can you tell me?
On this contract, 1, 2, 3, and 4, that these are the services that we are currently using LACO for.
Superintendent's council responsibility. Are you saying 1, 2, 3, and 4?
Can we take a break and so we can all get a copy of that?
Well, this isn't the SELPA plan. This is the provision of services to West Covina Unified School District.
Well, so I mean, but if we're referencing something, I would like to get a copy of it.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take a 5-minute break then, and let's figure it out.
Right? Are we not referencing that document?
Yes. Yeah, I asked for it, and I don't know why they didn't make it for everybody.
I didn't realize it was for tonight. All I heard is you wanted a copy. I didn't realize it was for this meeting. I'm sorry.
Because it was on, the reason I asked for it is it was on the agenda.
I mean, yeah, if we're going to reference the document, I just want to get a copy. Can we do the rest of the meeting while it's being made?
Yeah.
We
could move item number 10 to the end of the agenda, and that way we can... Can copies be made in time?
Monica just went to do it.
Monica just went to do that.
And I agree with you, and we moved it. Okay, item number 11. I turn this over to Ms. Kaplan.
What? I'm sorry.
Item number 11?
Okay.
We're going to come back to item number 10 until the copies are done.
Okay.
We're not going to take a break.
Mrs. Cheryl Lessiker is going to address the board in terms of the single plan for student achievement.
No. I'm good. Okay. Good evening, President Jimenez, board members, and cabinet. Tonight we're here to discuss the school plans for student achievement. And the school plan for achievement, which you know is called the SIPSA, is a plan of actions to raise the academic performance for all students. It is state and federally mandated with the purpose to coordinate all the educational services and categorical funds at the school. So this fall, the individual schools, their site councils, and advisory committees analyzed the performance data of all the student groups and have considered the effectiveness of the key elements of the instructional programs for students and to meet the academic performance. And as a result, the students have adopted the following goals that you see before you, related actions and expenditures to raise the academic performance of students not yet meeting state standards and the continued support for those students that do. Using the data from the CST from spring of 2013 in alignment with our district strategic plan, the principals and staff developed individual school site action plans, which I believe you saw at the last meeting. So from there, the action plan is designed to close the achievement gap for students not meeting the state standards, to provide quality professional development to these students and to district-wide initiatives. The SPSAs were then aligned to the action plans, allocating expenditures to support the necessary school-wide and grade-level professional development, monitoring of student progress, and providing interventions within the school day and either before or after school for students in need. One change we do have this year is that we no longer have the CST summative measurement tool for student achievement as a result of AB 484. So the monitoring tool for measuring student success continues to be the formative assessments that we have always given. Each individual school's assessment plan will provide ongoing data to provide appropriate interventions to targeted students. And while there's similarities between the elementary and the secondary plans, they are individualized to each site, driven by student needs. Unique to Merlinda and Orangewood and West Cove and Monta Vista are specific requirements to address program improvement. And there's 10 requirements that they have to address in their plan. But the three most important of those 10 requirements is that there's additional instructional time for ELA and math. 10% of their Title I has to be reserved for quality professional development directly related to removing the school from PI status. And the use of scientifically based research strategies that will strengthen the core academic subjects in the school and address the specific academic issues that caused the school to go, that went to go into PI. The site action plans, the SIPSAs, and the school site budgets are all aligned. The SIPSA is meant to be a living document. This means that as the need arises or the data from the assessments necessitate the changes, they are written in such a manner that the schools are allowed to direct the resources where they will most directly improve student and academic achievement. Okay, so that's sort of an overview of our school plans. Do you have any specific questions?
Mr. Cox? Ms. Poulos?
First, can you... You were saying that there are certain schools that are in PI.
Correct.
Their plans look, they had more of a guideline than the others.
They have 10 components that they have to be sure that is in their school plan.
But I really don't see, when I was looking, going through them, I really didn't see any difference between them and the other schools. Does that, should have I seen something more pronounced that, because... Or no?
What they're doing is best practices across all the schools, and they're continue to do so. It isn't for lack of best practices that we went into PI, but if you'll notice in the budget column, they might have said PI next to that allocated amount. That was the specific 10% that they had allocated to the professional development.
I would have to go look. I was looking at their budgets, and some, like Holland Crest, had significantly more money than other people, but it was, I don't know if it was carryover money.
If you look at, I believe, the fourth page from the back, it shows each of the school's allocations for budgets.
Right.
And some of the sites put general fund into their other unrestricted, and some did not. It's not required. So that's why theirs was a little higher. But you'll notice on that page,
general fund money in there.
Correct. But if you'll notice that the budget page, that fourth page from the back, all the budgets, they've balanced their budgets throughout their plan.
Except for Holland Crest was $63 or something. I mean, there was an overage in Holland Crest? Oh, I'll get there. Let me just look at my green tags quickly. And it was just a wording on California. On page 29 of 51, on the school site objectives, it says, by May 2014, the percentage of all students scoring proficient and or advanced on the will increase on the scholastic reading inventory. What am I missing? Because it says on the will.
I don't believe the will should be there on the scholastic reading inventory, the SRI.
Because it said advanced on the... And then it would say the increase on the...
Okay. I can look into that. And
I just didn't know if there was another testing instrument they were using, because then it says there will be an increase on the scholastic reading inventory, SRI, by 10%. So there was something else in there. And
I would venture to say that it was probably the STAR... CSD STAR.
They didn't take it out. Uh-huh. I mean, they took the STAR out, but not the...
And it isn't STAR as in CST. It's related to the accelerated reader.
I just didn't... Because I was trying to figure out how they were... What instruments they were using. There's one more on... On California's page 50 of 51, it says physician resigned on the number, so they 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but they're still counting it as a parent representative, but there's no name. It says physician resigned. So did they have 5 parents look at it?
I'd have to look at that page to see whether there's parity between the parents and the school.
And do they have to have five parents?
They have to have an equal number of parents and the school site,
okay,
yes.
So they have five people, names of people for their school site, but actually only four named parents or community members.
Okay,
because
let me.
The last one resigned.
Let me check into that, okay?
And then this seems to be almost across the board, but I'm going to use Cameron because it's my first green tag. This has happened for at least the third year in a row. And you're looking at page 16 of 47. It's analysis of current educational practices. Almost all the schools except San Jose Edison had a concern that the interventions weren't always monitored as well as they should be, and they might not always be the best interventions possible. Since it's the third year that this has been an ongoing problem with all the plans, and now we are under the local control funding formula where they're really going to be looking at interventions, is there anything different we're going to be doing in the future? Because it still, and it did look like they addressed in their narratives that all the schools addressed the issues, but they addressed them every year, but they seem to be a concern every year. So is there something we can do to alleviate that, or are we on our way to doing that?
I believe when talking to the sites, and we have discussed the assessment plans and so on, the interventions have already started. And they are starting this year with a pretest, ending with a post-test to better measure
okay.
how effective those programs are.
And is that this is the first year they're doing that?
For some of them. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent because it
yeah.
seemed to be an ongoing concern.
And they're addressing the need to be able to measure its effectiveness. So they'll be doing pretests and post-test.
That's awesome. I just wanted to say once again, Merced has outlined everything that he's going to do with dates. Many of the where they're talking about their action plans, like what they're actually going to do. Some people would say August through May, we are going to work on this. He actually lists out everything he's going to be doing. I think it's a better way to hold people accountable, but even a better way to let parents know this is how it's going to be implemented, and to hold the community can hold their school site accountable and look forward to things. Some of the things were just as ongoing concerns that I mentioned on the pages, so I'm not going to go over them. On Edgewood's high school and middle school, because they're a school-wide program, they had an additional insert, or you can tell me if that's why, it's the program description, school-based coordinated programs.
That isn't required as part of the state mandate, and he included that in his plan.
So,
but it isn't necessary.
It was just a choice for him to
Correct.
Give us additional information.
Correct.
Or the community, who's ever going to be looking
Correct.
At that. Okay, I appreciate that. I thought maybe it was because they had decided to go school-wide. I don't, you know.
No, there's program descriptions in several areas, and it isn't required, but they can do it.
Okay. Well, I always appreciate all the information. It gives me a better handle on what's happening. So I appreciate him doing that. We've already talked about the amount of money that Hollencrest had, and you were saying it was because they used general money in their plan to augment their
correct, which isn't required, but he chose to do so.
Okay. But many of the schools actually have access to that money. Also, we're just not seeing how
mm-hmm.
they're
mm-hmm.
spending it. questions if I had at this time. Thank you. Okay. Oh, and then I just wanted to make the PI money. I'd have to go back and look and see exactly how much PI money each of them got and how they decided to spend it. Because I looked at all of their budgets.
If you want to look for that, go to that fourth from the last page. Look at their Title I budget. They have to reserve 10% of that.
Okay, and so it may or may not say program improvement.
It should in some way. If it isn't next to the monetary amount, it will be in the evidence monitoring piece. If you were to look at, let's say, Monta Vista's, for example, or Orangewood's, I think it's in the budget column, and it's labeled PI, it's more than 10% for each of the schools, really. They've allocated much more, but it has to be at least 10%.
I'm sorry. Can I just pass this to you? And then this one is Merlinda's.
Okay. If you will look at Monta Vista, I know for sure it's in Orangewood, it's there.
Oh, so it might not be in
it. It might not be as clearly stated in that particular one.
Okay. Total expenditures for Title I.
Go around the front here.
Oh, thanks. Excuse me. Monta Vista.
PI status, you'll see here in the monitoring piece.
Okay, so you would have to go page by page and look for
What page number are you on?
It's 27 of 52.
No, but it's on different pages. Different pages.
But on this one, you can see under the
evidence monitoring.
You can see it four times,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, and you'll go through the English language arts and the math portion?
Yeah, I can see it up here on the page before, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
You may see it next to the budget amount, which says it'll say PI.
Okay. I should have called and asked, so then I could have gone through them and looked. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Mr. Spence.
You said that lack of best practices is not the reason for PI. So what is the reason for PI? And then how, if the plans are just focused on best practices, then what part of the plan is different that would get us out of PI?
Every one of our schools is doing very well. And we've focused so on the API. And the AYP, or the percent of kids proficient advance, is what has put us into PI. We need to look at strategies that we're using with students and improve some of the strategies that we're using, instructional practices. It's not about necessarily not using best practices, because we do research-based practices. I think we just need to hone in and really focus on specific practices to meet the needs of particularly some of the subgroups that are not meeting the AYP, particularly our English learners.
Now, when looking at the programs, other than the budgetary aspect of it, there didn't seem to be too much difference from school to school as far as those practices, except for the asterisk allocating funding. So is it really, when we say a school's a PI, we're just simply, is that just I don't want to use the word budgetary gimmick as far as what we allocate, but that's what it kind of looks like, since all the plans are not pretty much the same, but I mean all the plans focus, with the exception we're said on some and on the same things.
Yeah. One of the This is a need across the district. We just happen to have four that have gone into program improvement this year, but this is a need across the district, which each one of the schools has written into their school plans, professional development, working on different strategies to meet the needs of the English learners, whether it be SDI strategies or PSYOP strategies. We need to go back and review these, and as a district as well. We're looking into providing district-wide professional development in some of these strategies to meet the needs of these learners.
And I think one of the places that you see some of the more specific strategies is when you look at their action plans. The challenge with the SIPSA is the categorical compliance piece of it. And so sometimes if they're too unique to a school site, we run into problems where auditors find us not to be compliant. So that's one of the challenges whenever we're doing the school plans is to how do we have the unique pieces that really show that they drive the instructional program versus having the compliance pieces for when our auditors are looking at it.
So the more individualization, the worse it is?
Sometimes. I know. So Cheryl and I were just talking this evening because our sites are doing these different plans about her working with the county and looking at their new template that they have from the state and seeing if there's a way that we might be able to merge some of what's happening with the action plan, the assessment plans, and the SIPSA so that there's one document that drives the whole thing forward and we aren't doing sort of one that says one thing and is identical and one that is very unique to each of the school sites.
Ms. Shoemaker. No other questions then? Okay.
But in the future, it would be great if they would all say actions to address PI status. But as Mr. Spence says, I could find almost this exact same wording in the other schools, but without actions to address PI status. But I mean, I heard your answer.
Right. And the only four that would be
yes.
The four that gone into PI.
And I looked through Melinda, I didn't see it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you
very much, staff. Thank you. Thank you for your hard work and your diligence on this. Thank you. Okay, we will go back to, I'm sorry. We have to move this. Sorry. I was excited to go back to 10 because we have our photocopies. Okay, who will move this?
I will.
And who will second it?
I will.
Okay, it has been moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Cami Poulos to approve the school plans and budgets for the 2013-2014 school year. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? This carried 5-0. Okay, we will return to item number 10 now that we have the photocopies. I believe that Ms. Poulos was asking some questions and making reference to specific page numbers.
No, I was asking. Because here it says provision of services to West Covina Unified School District and the East San Gabriel Valley SELPA by LICO.
If you look on page 8 of the local plan,
uh-huh.
It talks about local agency, local educational agency. It starts with the duly adopted board policy of each LEA member of the East San Gabriel SELPA shall indicate that the LEA is responsible for educating children with disabilities in the least restrictive environment. The last paragraph says, however, it is recognized that some students have unique educational needs and cannot be met in their home districts. Because of such identified unique educational needs, some students receive services from other districts within the SELPA, districts in neighboring SELPAs, or the LA County Office of Education. This is the services that the LA County of Office of Education is going to provide for kids that are in our district and attending LA County schools this year. So this is the provision to go with this. They're not being serviced in their home district. They're being serviced by LA County. And this is the provision of services that they are providing, 1, 2, 3, and 4.
You had said this has already been adopted, though.
The plan is adopted. The plan is adopted. This is the plan that the district adopted. This agenda item is referencing page 8. This agenda item is to say to our board that we are providing these services are being provided for some of our students through LA County Office of Education not to exceed $1.5 million. So this is supporting the action, the LEA that says not all kids are going to be receiving services in their home district. So it's referencing that part of the local plan.
Okay.
there are students who are getting special day class home hospital through LA County. There are students who are getting DIS services with LA County.
In the past, when we've approved local plans, it has had all the services. And since we are taking programs back from the county, if we were adopting the whole plan that I have seen in the past, it would outline what programs are where and when we plan to transition those programs.
Okay,
is there a reason that we're not seeing the entire SELPA plan?
Well, there's also that. I think when we brought this plan to you folks, you had requested that other piece that had those services outlined, and we brought those to you. That's another piece of the services. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that's what you were asking for.
So
there's something we do.
If we're only approving page 8, can we reference that? Because this isn't the entire SELPA plan.
If I remember correctly, Cammie, when we brought the SELPA plan, the services that are provided by LA County, that was another document that had all those things provided. The SELPA had already voted on that. I think that's what you're asking to see, not the SELPA plan.
When we have approved SELPA plans in the past, it has included that. When we approved it as a school board and when I approved it as a member of the CAC, it was the entire plan.
Okay. All I know is what this is referencing here is that these services are going to be provided by LA County Office of Education for some of our students. What? This is the contract for services that's based on our plan.
So it says to approve the local plan for education of pupils with exceptional needs.
I think it's referencing this page. This is not the local plan we're approving.
Okay, so then when we're reading out, what we're reading out is incorrect because we are not approving the local plan. We're approving an amendment to the local plan.
No, we're approving the I'm sorry, where are you?
I think the transmittal is different than the agenda.
Okay.
Transmittal is on page 10.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're not approving the local plan.
No.
That's wrong.
Okay. So that was my major concern.
We're not approving the local plan. You're absolutely right.
Okay, so what should our wording be?
We're approving contract for
excuse me, to approve the
provision of services. Look at the subject area of the board agenda item. That's what we're approving.
Okay.
The first part is correct, but then you look. Then it says, after you say moved by, seconded by, to approve the local plan, that is incorrect.
That's incorrect.
Right. Yes, to approve the provision of services.
It's the provision of services within the local plan.
There's no way.
We're approving the provision of services to the West Covina Unified District, and that's
in local plan, the provision of services. The provision of services for education.
Where are you changing? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. So on 10, it should say to approve the provision of services.
This is right. To West Covina Unified School District and East San Gabriel Valley SELPA by LACO.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Period.
I misunderstood.
That's
yes.
It?
No.
No. There's
that
more.
I
think if you just take out the word local plan on the paragraph and change the provision to the provision of services for the education of its people. With exceptional needs between the district and San Gabriel Valley SELPA by making. So take out the two words local plan and put in provision of services.
Okay, so to approve the provision of services for the education of its pupils with exceptional needs between the district and the East San
yes.
Gabriel Valley SELPA by the Los Angeles County Office of
yes,
Education?
That's
all
what
right.
We're approving.
All right.
Circumstances, I will move this item.
No.
Ms. Shoemaker.
Because we're saying between the district and East San Gabriel Valley SELPA by the Los Angeles County Office of Education, but what it says here is the Los Angeles County Office of Education intends to provide the following services to WCUSD. We're referencing the fact that they're providing it under this, but the provision isn't actually between West Covina, question I actually had when Ms. Polis brought this up is, why is it not going through the SELPA? Why are we having specific contracts?
I think it goes through the SELPA, but each district is buying different services and contracting those services with the county. It still goes through the SELPA. The funding goes through the SELPA, but the services that we're contracting with are different than the services that another district is, and the cost is different.
And is there an actual contract? Because I didn't get one.
So, but we're contracting with the SELPA then?
It's not attached. Want to make copy for everybody?
Yeah. Because I don't usually approve contracts without reading them.
Do you want to pull it here right now?
Does this have to be approved today, or can we do it at the December meeting?
Do it at the December meeting.
Yeah.
It's not okay. Okay.
Because then we'll have, I mean,
and we'll have the right language. Okay, so we'll table this. Okay, so we'll table item 10. Everybody will get a copy of the contract, and we'll have the proper paragraph.
Thank you, Mr. Maker.
Okay, that brings us to the end. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. It's before 8 o'clock. Okay, Board of Education discussion. Who has 3 minutes worth of Board of Education discussion?
I do.
You really?
I want 3 minutes.
Go ahead, Mr. Swintz.
Well, just two things, but the first one is the Veterans Day thing. I heard a lot of great comments from about the program that the Air Force ROTC did. I wasn't able to be there, but heard a lot of comments about it. And I'm actually, because I'm a dork, I'm reading a history of the 29th Division, which, of course, was one of the divisions that hit Omaha Beach first in Normandy. And it reminded me of a conversation we had here about, you know, that there are a lot of veterans in the community and the connection with history classes and oral histories. And, you know, a lot of those veterans, especially World War II, but, you know, aren't going to be around much longer. And linking those up as a way of working with our curriculum. You know, we have a large Filipino community, and there's veterans from World War II, you know, there as well. And, you know, ways that we can link into the oral history of veterans within West Covina to kind of make those events real for students that, you know, to them, you know, to me, you know, that's way back in history, you know, D-Day. And so anyways, that was just, it reminded me of that. And then the second thing is I want to congratulate Ms. Eileen Moreno Jimenez and Jessica Shoemaker on the re-election to the school board.
Yay.
And that's it. That's all I got.
Okay. I neglected to add during the president's report that I did attend and thank you for tying that into Veterans Day, the Congresswoman Grace Napolitano's recruitment that she had for the military academies. And we did have some students from West Covina High. And Congresswoman Napolitano is very big on promoting the academies, and so the academies have referenced that they want to come into our schools and recruit our students, and I indicated that we have the Air Force Junior ROTC, so we have a ready-made audience. They were very pleased to hear that. And so the students tonight, I also made them aware.
And I did send that out to all.
Thank you so much. So it was very well attended, and they're going to do it annually. And they said it's always the Saturday before Veterans Day, so hopefully next year we'll have even more students from all three of our high schools. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Spence. Okay, dates to remember. November 28th through 29th is the Thanksgiving Day holiday. The schools and district office are closed. On the 27th, the schools are closed. However, the district office is open. Many people will be taking it as a vacation day, though, so it might be a ghost town.
It will be a ghost town.
It'll be a ghost town.
Why is the 27th open? Why are we open?
No. The schools are closed, but the
district office
has decided to use it as a vacation day. So.
So it's closed. Mm-hmm.
It's closed.
Yes.
So it's closed on the 27th.
Yes.
Okay, then we're closed on the 27th through the 29th.
But what I'm saying is it's not the same as the schools being closed. Where people here are taking vacation days to close.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's all closed.
But it's all closed. So don't any parents come on the 27th of November. December 10th is our Board of Education reorganizational meeting. There being no further business to come before the board, the regular meeting of November 12th, 2013. For all those of you, today was 11-12-13.
is adjourned at 7:50. Yes. Okay, this meeting is adjourned at 8 p.m.